Welcome into the latest edition of the Zoneheads podcast. Your host, Brandon Kravitz here, and I guess it's time to officially unveil the new format. I have taken over the feed. You may have noticed that I've been putting up more interview, personal, individual content. I am fortunate enough to have a lot going on right now, and I've got a new announcement that will soon to be unveiled, and I felt like the Zoneheads Orlando format just wasn't being properly promoted, and that starts and ends with me. I cannot thank Sean Green, Greg Rhodes, and the crew from Loud and Proud Orlando enough for the time, the effort, the energy that they put into this channel, but I felt like it wasn't fair to ask them to continue to pump out episodes on my behalf for numerous reasons, one of them being financially. I was hoping to land a sponsor and I could start taking care of these guys, but that stuff takes time. I just didn't feel like it was fair to continue to ask them to pump out content, though I thought their stuff was really good, and I encourage you to follow everything that they have going on. Loud and Proud Orlando, they have their own feed. Sean Green has the UCF Charge On podcast, and Greg Rhodes, you can find his website, mysportsflorida.com. So I just wanted to say thanks to them, but I will still continue to keep up with this channel, a minimum of once per week, but my goal is to give you two fresh episodes each and every week. This week, I've been down and out. You might hear it a little bit in my voice. A fever had me in a rough way, so I've just been scraping by. I don't know if it's COVID or what bullshit it is, but it has sucked, and so I've just sort of been like just crawling my way to the end of the day. So in an effort to get you that second episode this week, and by the way, check out the first episode this week, a 15-minute recap on the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope signing. I reacted to it that night. It's the most downloaded episode on this channel thus far, so thank you if you've already consumed that. I wanted to slam together two interviews that I've done recently, and they just happen to be two of my favorite interviews that I have ever done in my near 15-year radio career, and they're for two completely different reasons. Two icons in the football world, Ray Lewis and Doug Flutie. Ray was promoting an event in Orlando to honor his son, Ray Ray, who left us and left him way too early. So my chat with him is raw. It's emotional, almost brought a tear to my eye. Whereas Doug Flutie was fun and vibrant and just a fascinating person. So this episode exists to give you the yin and yang of those two chats and to highlight a pair of my favorite moments in my career. Thanks for taking the ride with me on the Zoneheads podcast. We'll chat again soon. This is a bittersweet moment for me as a sports fan and as someone who was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. Ray Lewis is on my short list of past and current athletes that I would love to get a chance to speak with on this show, and he's on with us right here. But the bitter part is that it is in light of the loss of his son, Ray Ray, almost a full year since his unfortunate passing here in Central Florida. He's a father, he's an NFL icon, a former Hurricane. Ray Lewis joins me right now. Ray, welcome to the show. I know this is never easy to discuss, but we appreciate the time.
My friend, thank you guys for having me on. You know, I would love to be on for other reasons, but the reason that I'm on is worthy than anything you can ever do as a father, you know? It's to fight and keep your son's legacy going because you knew who he was, what he was, and what he actually stood for. So I really appreciate you guys having me on.
As a father of a young boy myself, I can only imagine. So you know, this kind of stuff hits pretty close to home for me. From my quick research today, it says that there was a press release about 7 days ago stating that your son was diagnosed with stage 2 CTE. Did this come as a shock to you as you search for more answers here?
I'm going to be honest with you, right? I don't necessarily think it comes as a shock. But I tell you what, my son just was never the same. You know, he would forget so many things and he would just go into these, you know, just spells of just not being present, you know, and that's just not Ray Ray. You know, Ray Ray has always been that kid that's always engaged in everything and anything and always gave you such incredible energy. But after a while, you know, me and his mom, we just started to have a conversation. I said, listen, you know, I think there's something much bigger going on with my son, you know, and with our son. And I think we both agree, but at the same time, I think you add anything else to that, that becomes a problem, right? And that's kind of where I think the problem started to evolve. And this is why I go around the country speaking, you know, telling people, you show me your crowd, I'll show you your future, because, you know, people that Ray Ray was hanging out with, I just don't think helped what he was already dealing with the CTE.
What have you learned about CTE? And I'm sure that this is something that, even prior to your son's passing, something that had to concern you after spending years crashing into people in the NFL. What have you learned about CTE since your retirement and then, more tragically, since the loss of your son?
Yeah, let me tell you this, and I tell you something that forever changed my perspective, who's probably one of my heroes of heroes, which is Junior Seau, right? And so 10 days before that, me and Junior on the same flight, and we're just, you know, we're just talking about life, and we're talking about all this, and you could never even assess it or measure it, right? You don't know what's going on with him. And I said to myself, like, and then I wake up, and they're like, your boy just did. I was like, what? Wait, what do you mean? So immediately after Junior done that, I actually started researching the effects of it. Like, what are the counters of this? Like, why do they go through so much? Like, and then I started to understand how much damage that it actually does to the subconscious side of your brain, right? To where it actually destroys the confidence that you have in yourself. Right, the ability to keep getting up every day and keep going, and it keeps you going in this circle of life with doubt, fear, worry, stress, you know, and it's confusion. So as you dig deeper into it, you understand that it's much more than just a disease of the brain. It's a disease of the spirit, to where it kills your spirit, to where you want to be away from everybody, and you go in these dark places, and you have these bad memories, and you have all of these incredible thoughts, and none of them have anything positive to do with it. That's the side of CTE that I wanted to start to understand on. How do you find it before it happens, right? How does it alert you before it happens? But honestly, there's no real way to know that it's happening until people start acting out. But then people become good, right? Because they can play both roles, right? Ray used to go and sometimes give you the perfect child, and then you'll see him go into this little dark place. Mm. And I'd be like, And then anything else added to that, like I said before, it becomes a problem. Yeah.
We're talking with one of the greatest linebackers in the history of the NFL, Ray Lewis, on with us here. Do you fear that CTE might be something that you're quietly dealing with? Like, obviously not any sort of... Do you fear that you have it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Nah, I don't. Like I said, if you studied enough, many times I've read up on CTE, the thing that I wanted to remember the most, is... Why does your emotions fluctuate so much? Like, why are you so up, down? And so for me personally, you know, I've always overrode a lot of things in my journey. And CTE is something that I think, I don't want to get into the technical side of it, because the technical side may take a little bit too longer, because I don't want to be a doctor and tell you guys that. I don't think it directly stems from the brain, right? I think it stems from the lack of oxygen to the brain. Mm. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, they get these hits to the head, and that may be fine. You may be absolutely correct, but there's something that with my son, that oxygen stops getting to the brain. And when oxygen stops getting to the brain, then parts of the brain actually starts to die out, right? And that's the thing, I think, for me, that, you know, I pay very close attention to it myself, so I don't find myself in those areas, in those arenas. Yeah.
Well, I know that this will be part of the conversation this weekend. Your RL3 Foundation coming to Orlando this weekend. It's the reason why you're on with us here. Where are you? When are you there? And what do you hope to accomplish while you're in town?
I think if personally, my son had a dream, you know, and his dream was to help people. And my job is to continue that in his name, that people benefit because of his love. You know, one of the biggest things I think that comes out of this whole entire weekend, you know, if I can do nothing else, I'm the last one. And you guys know me, you know my career, you know my life. But I'm the last one to throw a pity party, you know? And everything that I'm doing and every day I step out of my bed is to help honor my son and what he stood for. And every day he always said, let's make today a great day. So every day of my life, I figure out a way to make it a great day, you know? And that side for me is what I think comes out of this for this weekend. Right. For me talking to Joe Theismann, Andy Reid, and just so many fathers, so many parents who have been through this tragedy of a season that never leaves you. You never recover from this. So I've taught myself many a times to realize I'm never the same because my child I can never bring back. But what we can help this weekend is the awareness to have conversations with your children, to really talk to them, to sit them down, take phones out of their hands, and have conversations to where you know what they're going through, you know what they're dealing with, you know when they're up, when they're down. And if nothing else, if I can save one father from feeling my pain, then that's the goal. That's the goal that... before we're done and after we continue this over and over and over, that parents will come and say, my son's life was changed because of this event. My daughter's life was changed because of this event. And that's why me and his mother got together a year out now and said that our son would not die in vain. Like, we have to do something in Ray Ray's name. And I'm sure that my son is smiling as we speak him. Yeah.
There's a lot of information that you can find on this. You want to schedule your weekend around it, rl3foundation.com. Two more things for you, Ray, before I let you go. You motivate a lot of people. You're one of the great motivators in the history of sports, maybe in history. Who motivates Ray Lewis? I've always wanted to ask you that. Who do you gain motivation from?
My mom. My mom is a different voice. She's a different confidence. And for me, I've always said, if you want to fall in love with a man, find out how much he loves his mother. And my mom, for me, always has, I would say, the perfect word, but she would always put you in the perfect mindset to think about every decision, good, bad, indifferent. And so every day of my life, you know, because of me not being raised with my father, my mom became my hero. I've never seen my mom complain. Never. As much as she went through in a domestic state, I've never seen my mom complain. Right? I've never seen my mom complain about not having money, not being able to give us clothes and whatever it was. And so for me, the rest of my life has always been dedicated to how can I make my mother's life better, right? The good book says, honor thy mother and thy father. You know, my father passed 2 years ago, but my mother is the last person on this earth that I will honor with all of my heart. And she's the one that's giving me the courage to step out and do and be who I want to be. Great question.
Well, thank you. Let's end on a positive note here. The Ravens had a pretty big offseason, most notably adding the monster that is Derrick Henry. How scary is that Ravens offense now with Lamar Jackson having the ability to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry?
Well, I don't think this is a secret, right? Since I've been playing for Baltimore, I've always realized that as a guy on the field, there's much more for you to do. So I started recruiting people, right? I used to go to Pro Bowls, and I used to recruit people over there all the time. That's how I got Peyton. That's how I got Steve McNair to come over, right? Because I'm recruiting him as we're at Pro Bowls together. Dan to him said, "Bro, come play with us in Baltimore." And I was coaching the Pro Bowl for the last few years, and I walked up to Derrick Henry, and I was like, "Would you like to be a Raven?" And he was like, "Bro, what you mean?" I was like, "Bro, tell me if you want to be a Raven." He was like, "Man," I said, "just imagine you and Lamar in the same freaking backfield, bro." He was like, "You can make that happen?" I was like, "Look, I'm on it." So I got on the phone. I called Steve immediately. And then Steve was like, call Eric DaCosta right now. I text Eric. I was like, "Eric, look, I got two people that I'm talking to you about, Stephon Diggs and this beast, Derrick Henry." He's like, "I love Derrick Henry." I said, "Well, let's go to work to get Derrick Henry." And so for Derrick Henry to actually get that, for Derrick Henry to actually be in Baltimore, like, it's, yeah, man, it's, I'm excited to see what that looks like, actually, yeah.
Well, I know the best compliment you can receive is the rest of the AFC absolutely hates you for that. So, job well done by you. Join Ray Lewis this weekend right here in Orlando, Florida, as he honors his son Ray Ray's legacy, sharing his passion for football, music, and education. RL3Foundation.com. That's RL3Foundation.com for more info. Ray, we appreciate the time. I'm encouraged by your ability to turn a negative into a positive. Thanks so much for the time and everything you shared with us today.
Thank you so much, brothers. I appreciate you guys.
We've got something truly special for our listeners right now. Doug Flutie, former Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback, hopping on with us to chat some ball and some fun event that he's got coming up tomorrow. Doug and his brother Darren lead the Flutie Brothers Band. They'll be performing tomorrow night at Metro West Golf Club on Hiawassee. The event starts at 6 p.m. The event is free, and they've got a huge fireworks show at 9:30 p.m. Doug, this is truly an honor. I followed your career all the way throughout. Such a fascinating story. Truly one of the wildest rides in the history of the game. What has led you to this new venture?
Well, it's not really that new. My buddy Mike Smith, my brother Darren, and I have been doing this for like 40 years now, 35.
Oh, wow.
And we've just been, I've played since I was 12 years old. I'm a drummer. My brother plays a little guitar. We've just always had a cover band. It's always been for fun and just playing in the basement. And then one day we started playing out a little bit, and it was a lot of fun. So we're just going to have fun, play a bunch of cover tunes. Pat Travers, if people remember him. Will be joining us, playing some blues tunes, Boom Boom, Out Go the Lights, probably Statesboro Blues, a couple others. But it's just fun. We play good, fun, hard rock and roll, and it's just an upbeat event.
Who were your artists of choice as you were growing up, the guys that you looked up to on the music side?
I was always a heavy Southern rock guy. I loved Lynyrd Skynyrd. I was a Boston guy, so I loved Aerosmith. And about that time, Jay Giles and the Cars were out. But then later on, I even loved the hair bands of the 80s. Those were the ones I lean on, I guess. And I obviously loved the Eagles, but that's not quite as hard driving stuff.
Yeah, they had some softer tunes. But Hotel California is still a classic.
You put Hotel California on and listen to it, and it's just nonstop. But the thing you don't realize about Hotel California, the majority of it's ballad. Like, I'm drawing a blank right now. Like Providence, Desperado, so many of them were ballads, but we all just think of Hotel California.
Did you have to stop playing for a while because football consumed so much of your life, or did you still find a way to fit that in?
I was an idiot. We would play shows during the season. We would do, you know, people, we get this. I was playing in Canada, and we were in the Grey Cup, which is the Super Bowl of Canada, and that's on Sunday, or they say it was Sunday night. The night before Grey Cup, we scheduled a gig up in Edmonton and played like an hour thing at a corporate event, or it was just a big party or bash. And I basically, everybody set up, everybody was ready to play. I was in team meetings, and I got out of team meeting and sprinted down to the ballroom, played for an hour, and ran back upstairs.
How did you play? That's a two-part question. How did you play as far as the drumming and then also as quarterback?
The drumming's just autopilot. And then the football, we won big. We blew Saskatchewan out of the water, and it was like Grey Cup MVP and all that. It was amazing how relaxed I was when I was playing in Canada. How much, you know, your confidence level just gets to a point where you know what you're doing, your work is done, and it's time to play. So, obviously, if you go out the next day and don't play well or things go wrong, you're setting yourself up to be criticized. But it was something fun. My brother, Darren, at the time, played for Edmonton, so he was in town. And the guys were going to come up to go to the Grey Cup anyway, and they all just wanted to play. So we scheduled a quick, like, one-hour corporate gig thing.
We're talking to Doug Flutie, former Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback also, great Grey Cup champion and an incredible multitasker, as it seems. He and his brother Darren are in the Flutie Brothers Band. They're going to be performing tomorrow night at Metro West Golf Club on Hiawassee. So the old adage is, if he's good enough, he's big enough. And maybe that applies more today than ever before, because you were overlooked for quite a while at the pro level because of your stature. Do you think that maybe you played in the wrong era? Like, that wouldn't be a problem if Doug Flutie was a star today.
I just shake my head, because I would love – yes, I agree with that mentality. I would love to play in the NFL with these offenses that they're running now. And I think these offenses that are being run in the NFL were what we were doing in Canada in the 90s. We were spreading them out, empty sets, using the quarterback as a runner, running quarterback called runs, doing the RPO game, all that stuff. And the difference for the short quarterback now is they're in the shotgun all the time. And in shotgun, your vision is so much better. You are further away from the line of scrimmage. Stuff is not quite in your face. So the further back you are from the mess, the bigger the lanes appear and the more you can see. And, you know, that I did that stuff where I was under center. I was backing out a lot to gain that extra vision. And then on third down, maybe jump in shotgun and have a little more separation from the line and be able to see. But, yeah, I'd love to take a run at the type of offense. Obviously, I'm half cripple now and can't run. I'm still very active and do a lot of stuff, but my knees are shot and I'm 61 years old. But you sit there and watch the game, it's like, darn, I'd love to give it a shot.
Well, you played for a while. I guess you partially answered the next question here, but how are you feeling?
I feel great. I really do. I played till I was 43. I've run 4 Boston Marathons. I still play hockey 2 nights a week. Baseball on the weekend, surf every morning. I'm still very active and all. It just, my left knee's about shot. My left knee's like saying, hey, it's time to do a knee replacement. So that's coming soon. But other than that, I feel great. I feel, you know, it's amazing how mentally you still have that drive and you still want to do stuff and you still want to do everything. And you gotta listen to your body and tone it down a little bit. But I still love the competition and to compete.
Well, I'm approaching 40 and never played in the NFL, and I feel my body telling me that sometimes. So I can only imagine. I do want to get back to the football world in a moment. I have a few more things that I'd love to ask you, but I don't want to forget to throw this out there. People always ask. It's just one of the most common questions that anybody gets in any walk of life is, what's your dream car? And my answer is always the Batmobile. And you actually have one. You have a Batmobile from the 1960s TV show. So let me live vicariously through you. What is it like to own your very own Batmobile?
That was such a rush. My wife was sitting in the kitchen on a computer, and she looks over to me and says, you know you can build your own Batmobile?
And I'm like, what? And then I got hooked on the idea, and it was going to take forever. So then I found an older one that I bought, and then I actually just bought one that a friend built that is just immaculate. So I actually have my old one. I have a newer 66 that is got an LS3, which is Corvette engine. It's like it's rest of my. I drive this thing across country tomorrow. It's a great car. And then out of boredom and an opportunity that came up, I bought an 89 Michael Keaton Batmobile as well that has darn machine guns that come out of the hood and all that. But I love driving it. It brings a smile to everybody's face. Even the people that think I'm a jerk for having it have to smile. They just can't help themselves.
Those new Teslas kind of look like that, too. They look like more like the new Christian Bale Batman, but... It's that 1989 for me, and I love the TV show, even though it was before my time. I watched it as a kid, but that 1989 Michael Keaton Batmobile, you're actually able to drive that thing?
Yeah. That's
amazing.
In fact, the one that was in the show or in the movie, they said went like 20 miles an hour. It was a movie prop. Yeah, they couldn't go over 20 miles an hour in it. Mine has an LS motor in it. I drive it. I drove it over to Fort Myers from Melbourne. I drove it. I'll drive it all over. The flame works in the back. The guns come up. They fire little flames and bang like damn machine guns. That's a machine. The 66 is a car. You know, it's a little. The 89 is 21 feet long, so it's a little bit of an effort to drive around town, but it rides great.
Doug, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. The run with the run that you had with the Buffalo Bills in the late 90s, winning comeback player of the year in 98, was that all the vindication that you needed, knowing what you were truly capable of? Did you kind of need that for yourself at that time for your own confidence?
Yeah, I think I did. Let me at least say I enjoyed the validation. When I came back from Canada, I played 8 years up there and done a lot of really good things, and my confidence level was at a peak. And I think what I learned was I knew what I did well and what I didn't do well, and I learned to be involved in the game planning and voice my opinion. And that way, when I stepped on the field, I was really confident. And so that led to me being successful again in the NFL, and that meant a lot to me. That really, it was like a validation. And I said, I played till I was 43 years old. And the reason I played till I was 43 is because I always had that little chip on my shoulder, big chip on my shoulder, Boulder, that drove me every day. You know, it's like, it's the reason that Tom Brady played as long as he played, because he was drafted later than he thought he should have been drafted. And he wanted to shove it in people's face for as long as he could and win as many championships as possible. And I always say this, you have to have something that drives you every day to get better. And, you know, whether it's trying to prove people wrong or, you know, financial security, whatever your motivation is, there's got to be something there that drives you on a daily basis to get your tail out of bed, go out and work hard when no one's watching.
You mentioned Tom Brady. You actually wrapped up your career with him in 2005. Did you get a sense at that time that you were playing alongside one of the greatest to ever do it, or was that still too early in his career?
No, he was already Tom. I kind of knew that. He had already won a couple Super Bowls. The reason I went to New England, besides being my hometown, my daughter was going to be a senior in high school and all that, was, hey, Tom, win me a ring. Will you? I get the pom-poms out and cheer all year long. Go get him, Tom. No, you could see it. I played with Jim McMahon. I played with Drew Brees. I played with Phillip Rivers. And Tom was different. Tom's just his discipline and his mental capacity. Throwing the ball, it amazed me that he had already won Super Bowls by this time. That on a daily basis, he's reanalyzing his throwing motion all the time. How can I be more accurate? What can I do? Get over the top. He didn't like the way he was throwing the ball 1 week, so he brings in his guru quarterback doctor, the throwing coach, to work with him after practice. It just, that's the way Tom was. He was meticulous about every detail and was just driven on a, you know, like I say, on a daily basis. You have to be. But Tom, when you think you've arrived, you're done. And Tom never, he kept thinking he could get better, and he strove to get better every day. You could see it. It was different. Tom was built differently.
That's incredible. Doug and his brother Darren lead the Flutie Brothers Band. They're performing tomorrow night at Metro West Golf Club in Hiawassee. The event starts at 6 p.m. Doug, before we cut you loose, what can people expect at the event in terms of the show that you provide, the interaction, and all that?
Oh, I'll be very accessible. I'll be taking pictures and signing autographs. If they're, you know, they just want to rip it up in my face, that's fine too. But I'll be very accessible, and we play a lot of fun, you know, just rock stuff. And I love Southern rock, so we get more than our dose of Skynyrd in there, and just mix everything up, upbeat, read the audience a little, change the set list, whatever it takes. But also, Pat Travers said he was going to swing by and jump in for a few songs. So we'll do some blues stuff. And it's just a fun, upbeat atmosphere.
MetroWestCommunity.com. That's MetroWestCommunity.com if you want to learn more about the show. Thanks so much, Doug. I really enjoyed the conversation.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.